Well, I wonder how your day's going, how things are going today. The Apostle Paul is in jail, can you picture him? There he is, writing a letter to the Christians in Philippi. Can you hear the rattle of the shackles on his hands and feet, locked up for his faith? A pretty bad day. But what's he writing about? It's all about joy. The joy, as we saw last time, of partnership with the Christians in Philippi. Partnership in the gospel. That is, in promoting the message of Jesus. But as we imagine Paul in that grim jail, isn't his joy amazing? See, what's so special about the gospel, the message of Jesus? What's so special that Paul should conduct himself in this way? And if this message is so special, how should it work out in our lives? We're looking at a chunk of text tonight, but here it is in a nutshell. Can we see this? Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The word for conduct there is as a citizen. Whatever happens, whether Paul lives or dies, this is how to live. Not only as citizens in the Roman colony of Philippi, not only as citizens of Marlborough or East Wiltshire, but as citizens of heaven. What is this conduct that's worthy of Christ? Well, first, it is contending. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. The first conduct that's worthy of Christ is this, contending for the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 again. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that is by God. For it has been granted to you, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Conduct worthy of Christ is, verse 27, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, standing together for the message of Jesus. Apparently the Philippian Christians were being severely persecuted, well, we can only imagine. We can hardly get our heads around this. Paul seems to be talking of that persecution as a gift. He says, verse 29, it has been granted to you not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for him. Granted to you. Doesn't that sound strange? Is it really? Could it really be a privilege to suffer for Christ? Well, Paul suffered more than almost anyone. And he says, yes, it is. Not because suffering is nice, not at all. But because it's for Christ. And in the midst of that persecution, Paul says, as it were, hold the line. Stand firm, contend, strive, as one man, for the faith. Why was it that Germany won the Football World Cup last summer? Not because they had more players than anybody else. Not because they had one individual superstar like Messi or Ronaldo or Neymar. Germany won, as I understand it, because they competed as a team. Their defence was tight. They held firm in midfield, they were confident in attack. And it was obvious from the semi-finals Germany were going to win because they contended together. Thankfully, most of us don't face the same level of hostility as the Philippians did. But maybe we've experienced some trouble for our faith. Or maybe we're worried that people might persecute us, especially if we stand up as Christians in this area. Well, God's call is clear. His spirit in us is strong. He calls Christians to stand together to witness about Jesus, contending for our faith. Christians may play different roles in this. Some may be better at public speaking. Others may be better at turning conversations to Jesus. So others may be better at making friends or bringing them to events. Others may be great at cooking for an event or hosting a course. But like the goalkeeper, the defender and the striker, we've got to shoot in the same direction. And God calls us all as Christians to pray for opportunities to speak. And when the ball comes to our feet, when we get a chance, to speak up bravely for Jesus. I wonder where that opportunity will come for us this week and over the coming year. So many people in Marlborough and in towns and villages across this great county, they need to hear about Jesus. So many people in the places where we live and work and study. Isn't this conduct worthy of Christ? Isn't he worth it? Aren't his death and resurrection worth it? That we should contend to let people know about him? How much he loves us. What a great hope he gives us. He's fantastic. Isn't he worthy? There's the first conduct that's worthy of Christ. Contending. That's our first point. Contending for the truth about him. But if Christians are to contend together, well, is that a bit of a problem? Because Christians are so different from one another, we'd each do things in different ways. And if Christians are going to contend together for the faith, if we're not just going to fall out with each other, we need, secondly, compassion. In chapters 2, verses 1 to 5. Compassion, that is the second conduct that's worthy of Christ. It's compassion for each other. Chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Paul says, if you've received compassion from God, then share that compassion with one another. If we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, well then, verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded. That is, first and foremost, like-minded with God, sharing the loving, sacrificial mind of God. Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Conduct worthy of Christ. Not just to speak of Christ in the world, but also to copy Christ in the church with compassion. Suppose there's a disaster somewhere in the world, an earthquake or something. Suppose that one person gives an enormous amount of money to fund relief work at great personal cost. He or she rescues many people. But what if those people abuse the donor's generosity? What if they start fighting each other and stealing the goodies from each other, rather than sharing with each other, helping each other to rescue even more? Well, perhaps that would not be conduct worthy of their benefactor. In the same way, we're to copy God's love as we pass it on to others. What will that compassion for each other look like in practice? Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Wonder if we're all naturally selfish. Well, in the gospel shall we find God's forgiveness, praise God, and his help to fight, to be unselfish. When we think about church, when we think about starting a new church together, wonder if we're tempted to think selfishly. I guess, speaking for myself, sometimes we are. Is it good for me? Does it run a slick program for me and my family? Are there plenty of people just like me? Does the time and venue and format suit me? Is the music going to be exactly my style? Can I just walk up on a Sunday? Or do I actually need to pray for others? Or have them over to my house? Or relate with them midweek too? But God says to us, do nothing, nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. So church is not just a club we subscribe to like consumers, but Christians are a family. And the first question as we plan our diary or our finances or our home is not what can I do for me, but what can I do for others? I find this personally really challenging. I'm a sinner. I need motivation here. I can't do it myself. Maybe we're thinking, yes, I know this contending, this compassion, that they're a challenge for me, but I'm struggling. Give me some help here. Of course, the motivation and the power are both in Jesus. So conduct that's worthy of Christ is first contending, second compassion. Now let's see thirdly and finally, it's Christ. Conduct that's worthy of Christ. We're in chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. We'll pick it up at verse 6. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why should we conduct ourselves this way? Contending for the truth with compassion for each other? Give me motivation! Because of Christ. Because of God's extraordinary love for us in Christ. Christ who plunged from the heights to the depths, being in very nature God. The Son, he's always been fully God, the Creator, all glorious with the Father and the Spirit. And yet he gave so much up. He made himself nothing, verse 7. Still God. So what does that mean? It means he added a second, amazingly humble nature, the very nature of a servant or slave. A screaming, poor, helpless baby in a cattle trough. Apparently there's a TV program called Undercover Boss. I don't know if you've seen it. So one time it was the chief exec of Moss Bros. He put on this amazing disguise, and he went to work on the shop floor at Moss Bros to experience exactly what it was like for his staff. Well, Christ, he did something far more amazing. He not only stooped so low as to become a man, he submitted to death. And not any old death, but the most painful, most shameful death of all, on a cross. And he did it for you and me. He took the punishment that we deserve so we might go free. It was a swap. So what's the motivation? Are we supposed to pay Jesus back like some terrible debt? It sounds impossible. No, our motivation is not out of guilt. It's out of thanks. But especially in this passage, it's out of hope. Certain hope. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he returned to reign in heaven, and as we trust and follow him, one day we shall reign with him too. Verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the words of C.S. Lewis, think of a pearl diver, first glancing up in midair, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through green and warm water into the black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay. Then up again, back to colour and light, his lungs almost bursting till Suddenly he breaks surface again, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. And what is that priceless pearl? As we trust and follow Jesus, it is us. So what's the motivation, the conduct worthy of Christ? It's not so we might earn that kind of glory for ourselves, but because he's already earned it for us, and if we trust in him, we are united with him. We experience that glory now in part, very ordinary, even painful glory of contending for the faith and compassion for each other in the midst of suffering, frustration, rejection, showing that Jesus is worth it, and waiting for that glory to be perfect when he returns. So when we know what we're supposed to do, but we've lost the motivation or lost the willpower, what shall we do? Let's look to Christ. Shall we take time every day to read about Christ, to praise and pray? Shall we go to church regularly? Might seem basic, but we really need that habit of going to church, going to see Christ exalted in preaching and mutual encouragement. And whoever we are, whatever's going on, slowly but surely, he'll lift us up. The final verses of our reading today, verses 12 to 18, really summarise this theme. A manner that doesn't complain, verse 14. A mission of evangelism, verse 16. A situation of suffering, verse 18. And a motivation, back to verse 13, a motivation of God, his completed work on the cross, his continuing work in our lives. So what's so special about the gospel message? Why does Paul rejoice in the gospel partnership even from prison? Because it's all about Christ, humbled and exalted for us. Let's conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of him.